I think probably more appropriately, the question might be, do Roman Catholics go to heaven? And I want to do my best that I'm not in any way, shape, form, or fashion just trying to belittle anything, degradate anything, but I want to make sure that you are not ignorant concerning the difference between fundamental Bible believers and Roman Catholics. I want to make sure that you understand that things that are different are not the same. I hear people make a lot of statements, and Pope Francis made this statement that all religions are a way to God. All religions are a way to get to go to heaven. They're just people taking different roads to get to the same place. That is heresy. That is a damnable lie straight out of the pits of the damned. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And I wouldn't want to hurt anybody else's feelings, but Billy Graham made the same statement several years ago. And if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to stand before God and give an account for what I said. And I'm going to make sure you understand the difference tonight, because there are some great differences, and things that are different are not the same. And we need to know that. What we try to do many times is we give people the benefit of a doubt. And what we wind up doing is arguing with the Holy Spirit of God and argue with the truth of God's word. John 3, there was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to springboard off of this tonight. There's only one salvation. And people want to argue, well, did this one go to heaven, or did this one get to go to heaven, or this one in hell? Listen, I'm going to make this so simple you can't miss this. Okay, if you believe the gospel of Christ and repent, experience the new birth, you get to go to heaven. Everybody else goes to hell. Believe the gospel. Repent. Believing the gospel is a gift of God. Faith is a gift. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. But not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Paul told the church at Rome in Romans 10 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And within its context, inside of Romans 10, that's talking about preaching. I'm not putting anything against reading the scripture, reading the word of God, reading a chick tract. Leave all that aside. But this book said in Romans 10:9, for whosoever shall call, or 13, I guess, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. And how shall they preach, except they be sent? And then when you get down to the part where he said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you've got to understand that faith comes through hearing the preaching of this book that I have before me tonight. That's God's prescribed way. God allows a man of God to preach this book. And the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God is to reveal Christ to the hearts of men through the preaching of the word of God. And it is by that preaching, when man believes that word of God, God gives man faith to be born into the family of God. God gives man the gift of repentance and allows him to repent, to be saved. And there will be a transaction in the heart of a human being that we refer to as the new birth. And that's when man has this new creature placed inside of him by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Man's baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost of God. And it is all a supernatural work of God. Now, the question is, are Roman Catholics saved? Do Roman Catholics go to heaven? We're dealing with in the news media today the fact that the Roman Catholic world and much of the secular world is dealing with the death of the Pope, Pope Francis. Now, when you look at that, there's much to be understood here that we never even scratch the surface of in the Baptist church. And I'm fearful that we leave most people completely ignorant. And you're like lambs led to the slaughter when somebody uneducated in this world tells you something about, well, they believe in Jesus the same as we believe in Jesus. Not so. Not true. They don't even believe in the same Jesus that we believe in. They believe in a Jesus that shares his glory with his mother Mary. That's not the Jesus I believe in. While Baptist folks were not originally called Baptists, they were originally called by many names. Baptists identified solely by the doctrinal beliefs of this word, of this book, of the Holy Writ, of God's word, have existed from the first church at Pentecost throughout 2,000 years of church history unto this day. Even Roman Catholic historians would tell you that the Baptist people suffered far before there ever was a Roman Catholic church. The Roman Catholic Church, as we know it, did not come into full view until the year 312. That's nearly 300 years into the existence of the church. And what happened was heretics that believed false doctrine, believed partially in infant baptism and what we call baptismal regeneration, had begun to infiltrate the New Testament church. I won't call it the Baptist church, but by belief, those people were as Baptistic as we are. Later, we were called rebaptizers because we believe that baptism as an ordinance of the church is for a born-again believer to demonstrate outwardly what has taken place inwardly. He's already been saved, already been birthed into the family of God. But baptism, by immersion only, for believers only, is a picture in typology of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they believed in baptismal regeneration. And for years, these heretics had tried to infiltrate and inundate and saturate the New Testament believers. And finally in 312, the Roman Emperor Constantine was going into battle and he said, a vision, a sign of the cross. Listen, I love you and I'm your friend. I just don't do a whole lot of cross business, okay? People say, well, that's a Christian symbol. Well, I believe the symbol of the Christian church is an empty tomb, not a cross. And I just don't say a lot about that, but I just don't think a lot of gaudy crosses has got much to do with what we're trying to portray about the resurrection of Christ, but I'll move on. When we see in 312, when Constantine saw this vision of the cross, he so-called converted to Christianity. But Miss Sheila, did he convert to the New Testament Christianity that we read about our forefathers in the book of Acts? No. He converted to those heretics and he adopted that infant baptism and that idea of baptismal regeneration. And that is the beginning, the roots of the Roman Catholic Church. didn't start for 300 years after Christ. Long time later, the Protestants come in, or protesters, or the Protestant Reformation. What's that all about? That were people who were part of the Roman Catholic Church, but they got a hold of their Bible and they started to read it. And a man by the name of Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, the German reformer, on October 31st in the year 1517, full of boldness and full of faith because he had been reading the Word of God, came to the understanding that what the Roman Catholic Church taught did not line up with this book. And therefore, he wrote a thesis of 95 different points of where the Roman Catholic Church departed from the Word of God. And in Wittenberg, Germany, Martin Luther went to the church house and took that 95 thesis and nailed that thing to the church house door and started what we understand to be the Reformation. The Protestants, the protesters who protested against the Roman Catholic Church. Brother Mike, do you believe Baptists are Protestants? Absolutely, positively, uncircumstantially not. No, 1,000 times no, not in a million years. Listen, by this time, Baptists, as we know Baptists from the Baptist faith, from the pages of the Word of God, have been around for more than 1,500 years. This Protestant thing's brand new compared to Baptist. Baptists are not Protestants. Baptists are just Baptists. They're just Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And then later they begin to call us rebaptizers, because when someone left the Roman Catholic faith or left the Protestant faith, got truly born again of the Spirit of God, we took them out in deep water and baptized them by immersion. And they said, well, they've already been baptized. No, not like this thing. This is a testimony of what took place in their heart. Well, they said, you're a bunch of rebaptizers. And that's what the term Anabaptist means, rebaptizers. And for many years, our Baptist forefathers were called Anabaptists. But it's the same belief system that came out of the New Testament book of Acts. We've always been there, at least in our doctrine. Our name's not always been Baptist. It wasn't till several years later that they dropped that Anna from the first of it and just began to call us Baptists. But they did not call us that as an endearing term. We did not adopt that name for ourselves and just decide we're going to put up a 4x8 sheet of plywood and put a name on it. Let's call ourselves Baptist. That's not why we're called that. It was a derogatory term. They were making fun of us for rebaptizing people that had been born again. Now, I'm moving forward. The Roman Catholic Church, as we know it, didn't come about till 312. The Protestants didn't come about till 1517. But I go to this question, and we got to get to the crux of the thing. And the crux of the thing, the very apex, the very fundamental foundation for what we're talking about, is what does it matter what you call somebody if they go to heaven when they die? That's what matters. How you get to heaven? Well, I figure the folks that's got the truth about how to go to heaven's probably a step or two ahead of everybody else. I ain't too smart, but I got that much figured out. If you know the truth about how to get there, you know, if somebody comes up and say, I want to go to Brother Don Craig's house, and I tell them, well, you go down here to Fairview and you get on Charlotte Highway and go out to Interstate 40 and hang a left, I figure I got a big advantage over them getting to Don Craig's house because I done sent them the wrong way. This is about knowing what salvation is and how you get it and how Roman Catholics think they go to heaven. Now, I'm not making fun. I just want to be clear. I'm not making fun. I just want to make sure you understand the difference. that Baptists do not believe the same salvation, the same Jesus, even the same Bible as Roman Catholics do. How do Roman Catholics think they go to heaven? What I give you tonight is based on their church doctrines. What do they believe? And what do they teach that man must do to receive God's salvation? According to Roman Catholic doctrine, salvation and entry into heaven are achieved through a combination of faith, grace, and works, rooted in the teaching of Scripture, in tradition, and magisterium, which is a fancy Latin word that means the church teaching and the church authority. And here I'll give you a concise overview based on official Catholic teachings. And if you want, I'll include the references from the Catechism of Catholic Church, the CCC. This is their writings, not mine. I didn't get this from a preacher's magazine. I didn't make this up out of thin air. But these are the doctrines of the Catholic Church. And if you're not careful, many things that Roman Catholics, many other denominations in the world use a lot of the same words and a lot of the same terminologies that we use. But Brother Danny, there's a very important thing you must understand, is that they give those words an entirely different definition. We've got to understand the terms. If you ask the Roman Catholics based on their doctrine, based on their own catechism of the Catholic Church, God's grace and faith. Salvation is a gift of God's grace, initiated by Him and not earned by human efforts alone. Catholics believe that faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose for humanity's redemption, is essential. Well, that sounds pretty good, don't it, Miss Mitzi? I mean, sounds like exactly what we believe, that it's faith and faith alone. This faith is received through baptism, which forgives original and personal sin and incorporates a person into the body of Christ. Catholic Catechism 1213, 1265 through 1266. So, Roman Catholics, according to their doctrine, believe that faith comes from baptism, and it forgives original sin, personal sin, and incorporates that baptized being into the body of Christ. Baptism is the normative starting point of salvation, marking the beginning of a life in Christ. The reason that we believe historical facts show that it is unarguable, and one former pope actually stood publicly and asked forgiveness for this, apologized. But without error contradiction, even the secular world realizes that more than 50,000 Baptist people have been slain at the hand of the Catholic Church. And we say it's more like 500,000 or maybe even 5 million. And the fundamental difference is baptism by immersion or infant baptism. And what we're talking about is baptismal regeneration. That is why we are so hated, despised by the Roman Catholic institution that they call the Roman Catholic Church, is because we stand firmly against any such thing as baptismal regeneration. You're not regenerated by baptism. You're not saved by baptism. You're not born again by baptism. Well, I don't believe Catholics really believe that. This is what their catechism teaches. Baptism is the normative starting point of salvation. It makes the beginning of a life in Christ. For Catholics, it is necessary for salvation. Though God can work outside of the sacramental means for those who through no fault of their own do not know Christ or his church, but seek God sincerely. In other words, everybody don't have to be a Catholic to go to heaven. You cannot even know who Jesus is, but if you'll seek him earnestly, you can get to go. Well, that's the Catholic Catechism, 847 and 848. I didn't make that up. Then living the life of faith and works. Now, a lot of this sounds good. Catholics believe that faith must be active and expressed through love and good works. Works do not earn salvation, but they are the fruit of living faith, cooperating with God's grace. This includes the following. Following the Ten Commandments. What about them other 603 commandments? Following the Ten Commandments, practicing charity, and living a moral life. Well, that's supposed to be the fruit of you being saved, is charity. They believe in giving big. Charitable works. That's why so many of these nuns give their whole life and give themselves up to poverty so they can do for others, because they think that's the holy thing to do and it gives them favor with God. Then there are the sacraments. The Catholic Church teaches seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist. The Eucharist in and of itself is when they have Mass and they have that little cookie, and they have the cookie and they have the wine, that wafer. That wafer's called the Eucharist. Roman Catholics believe that if you're ordained as a Catholic priest, that if you do the Catholic Mass, that Jesus Christ willingly, at the beckoning call of the priest, willingly, not figuratively, but literally, physically, voluntarily, himself, supernaturally, and it's called the miracle of transubstantiation. And by the miracle of transubstantiation, Jesus Christ physically, literally becomes that little cookie and becomes that wine. And that when you eat that cookie, you are literally eating the physical body of Christ. And when you drink that cup, you are literally drinking the blood of Christ. That's diametrically opposed to Scripture. Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary once and for all. And he said, "It is finished." It was finished. The sacraments, the Eucharist, baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, reconciliation. That sounds good, don't it? Reconciliation, anointing of the sick, holy orders. That means priestly orders, the orders of the Jesuit as one. What does that mean? What do these holy orders do? It empowers the ordained, the priest, to act in persona Christi. That means literally in Latin, it means as the person of Christ, especially in sacraments like the Eucharist and reconciliation. There's that word reconciliation again. That's according to the Catholic Catechism 1548. And matrimony. All are channels of God's grace and strength in believers for the journey of salvation. Key to these is the Eucharist. Participating in the Mass and receiving the Eucharist strengthens communion with Christ. That's why they feel it's so important to go. You ever heard somebody talk about, I'm just going to throw this in here, it won't cost anything extra. And if you're not careful, some people say this and they're just being silly because they don't understand. They say, "Well, I'm so-and-so is my godchild. I'm their godfather. I'm their godmother." Do you understand what that is? In the Roman Catholic faith, if you are a child's godfather or you are a child's godmother, that you are making a vow to the parent that if anything happens to that parent, that you will see to it that that child is raised under the tenets of the Roman Catholic faith. That's what a godparent is. Just threw that in there. Sacraments, the Eucharist, reconciliation. Well, that sounds like a good Baptist word, reconciliation, except it's not. Well, maybe it is, but it ain't. You see, that's how they fool you. Reconciliation means confession. Well, we believe you ought to confess your sins, but that ain't what they mean. They mean that those men in these orders that have become Christ in persona, Christ himself as Christ, that they have the authority and the ability to sit in a little wooden box and listen to somebody confess their sins, and Christ has given them the authority to forgive sins. That's what confession is. That's what reconciliation is. The sacrament, this sacrament, restores grace lost through sin, particularly mortal sins that can separate a person from God if unrepented. You see, the Roman Catholic Church believes that if you commit, there's mortal sins and venial sins. A mortal sin is one of them big ones like adultery and fornication and stealing and those kind of things. And that if you commit one of those sins, I'm sorry, but you fell from grace. You lost it. You're out of the deal. You're still baptized, but you've lost it. And if you're going to get it back, you're going to have to go to the priest and reconcile in reconciliation and in confession. And you've got to go to that confessional booth and you've got to confess what you've done. I'm just telling you what they believe. I'll give you the references for all this. This is documented their literature. It is what they believe. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Well, that sounds good. That sounds almost Baptistic. Except mortal sins are grave violations of God's law committed with full knowledge and consent and must be confessed to the priest and forgiven through the sacrament of reconciliation to restore to the state of grace according to the Catechism 1855 through 1861. Venial sins are lesser sins. That's just little things that you might slip up, say an ugly word or think an ugly thought, or, you know, just some what we might consider a smaller sin than adultery or fornication or stealing or something like that. These sins, these venial sins, these lesser sins can be forgiven through acts like prayer. Not praying, God forgive me, but praying on your rosary bead and going through those beads and praying those prescribed prayers, those prayers. Also, receiving the Eucharist goes a long way for forgiving sins. And you can also do penance. Catholics believe that unrepented mortal sin at death can lead to eternal separation from God, and you go to hell. And while those that are in the state of grace, which means they've only committed venial sins, may possibly be purified through the purification of purgatory, according to the Catholic Catechism 1030 through 1032. In other words, that a man would go to purgatory and suffer, and in that suffering pay for his sins until he can get to go to heaven. They believe the doctrine of the perseverance and final grace. Catholics are called to persevere in faith and charity throughout their lives, relying on God's grace to remain faithful. And at death, a person's state of grace determines their eternal destiny. I'm glad I ain't got to wait till I die to find out where I'm going. Did you know they'll take this Pope and they'll put him in a box and they'll parade him all over that Vatican? They'll set him up here and set him up there, and they'll pray over him and pray to him and pray for him. They'll smoke him like a Boston butt. They're going to do everything in the world. And I heard yesterday they was asking the world to pray for the soul of the Pope. And they still don't know whether he got in or not. Do you see how ridiculous this is? Do you see how uncertain and unstable this is? My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and I stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and it's not about a bunch of silly works, silly rituals. Those who die in God's friendship, free of mortal sin, are assured of salvation, though many undergo purgatory to be purified before entering into heaven. That's according to the Catholic Catechism 1023 through 1030. And the role of the church, the Catholic Church, is seen as a universal sacrament for salvation, entrusted with dispensing God's grace through the sacraments and teachings. Membership in the church through baptism is the ordinary means of salvation through God's mercy extended beyond visible boundaries to those who seek Him sincerely. In summary, what I've said tonight is God's salvation to the Roman Catholics is, first, you must be baptized and profess faith in Christ. Live a life of active faith expressed through love and good works and keeping the Ten Commandments. Participate in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and reconciliation, which is confession in a confession booth to a priest to receive and restore grace, and to persevere in faith until death, trusting God and mercy. And if that don't work, if you're baptized when you die in grace and you have no mortal sins, you've kept the Ten Commandments, yet you've only got venial little sins, then you can hope to go to purgatory where you can be purified by suffering until your venial sins are purged. And they did make a little caveat here that otherwise one of the popes decided that the family can pay the priest for extra masses and they can pay for indulgences for the dead and get you out of jail early. The Pope claims to be the vicar of Christ. I'll get into that in a second, but they take that from Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18, the Lord Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Thou art Peter, Petros, Petros. And on this rock, Petra, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But the Roman Catholic Church does not recognize in the Greek language two very distinctly different words. Peter's name is Petrus. It means little rock, or a little sliver or a little piece of the rock. But Jesus didn't say, "On Peter I build my church." He said, "On this rock, Petra, I build my church." That was Christ, the solid rock I stand. My salvation is not based on Peter, it's based on Christ. But the Roman Catholics believed and want to assert to us that Peter was the first pope, and that every pope in succession is apostolic succession from Peter. And that Peter was the first pope, and there are popes after him, and they are therefore the vicar. A vicar is a representative, a deputy, or a substitute. Anyone acting in the person of or an agent for a superior. The term vicar of Christ refers to the pope's role of his earthly representation of the deputy of Jesus Christ to lead the church. It emphasizes his authority as the successor to Peter. The Pope as vicar exercises spiritual and administrative leadership, acting as a shepherd to the faithful on behalf of Christ. While not claiming to be divinity or equal with Christ, the title underscores the belief that his decisions, especially matters of faith and morals when spoken ex cathedra, which in English means are infallible, are guided by divine authority. That's why Roman Catholics do so many things you can't find in the Bible, because the Pope said it and his word was authority. You say, I never heard some of this stuff before. I want to make sure you don't walk out of here ignorant tonight thinking Roman Catholics are the same as Baptists and Protestants and everybody else, and we're all just going to the same heaven, worshiping the same God with the same salvation. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be ugly, but me or the Pope one is a rank heretic. Either I'm wrong or he's wrong. But things that are different are not the same. And they are so vastly different, we're not talking about just comparing some things that really don't matter. I'm telling you that their belief that salvation, God's salvation, that Christ bled and died for on the cross of Calvary is given by water baptism. Now, there's much to be said here, and I'm not really going here tonight. I'm just going to throw this out to whet your appetite. God may let me come back later. I know a lot of folks that are up in the air because they're thinking that Donald Trump is the Antichrist and Elon Musk is the false prophet and all this kind of stuff that they're talking about today. Listen, I'm not involved in such foolishness and shenanigans. I can tell you this much. When the Antichrist is revealed, this old boy won't be here. Listen, when the rapture comes, I'm taking the first load out, and the Antichrist will not be revealed until after the rapture's already taken place. But do you find it at least something worth thinking about? That for many, many years, most of our Baptist forefathers always believed that the Antichrist would come through the Roman Catholic Church. That's because Revelation 13, Revelation 17. Revelation 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea, saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And those seven heads, when you get into Revelation chapter 17, and the Lord begins to explain those seven heads, and he makes that thing very clear, and he said those seven heads are seven mountains. What's the Vatican in Rome sitting on? The seven hills of Rome. Are you saying the new pope that's about to be called on is going to be the Antichrist? Wouldn't surprise me none. That's not for me to say. I don't know. I'm not going to know who the Antichrist is because I don't need to know, because I know who the real Christ is. He lives in my heart. He stirs my soul. He loves me. He's the lover of my soul. And I give him great glory and I give him great honor and I have great assurance that I know him. That I know him. Preacher, how you know you're going to heaven when you die? The witness of the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of me. And when I magnify the Son of God, the Holy Ghost of God stands up and my paraclete says, amen. Amen. I know who the real Christ is, but I want to make sure that you don't get bamboozled by somebody. And I'm just going to go down this road, and if this makes you nervous, it shouldn't, but you need to be on the lookout for this. If you pay much attention to Fox News, almost everything Fox News oriented in the last 6 months has turned totally Roman Catholic. Pay attention to what I said. If you watch Fox News for about 30 minutes, it's all turned Roman Catholic. They're running to the Catholic Church. Most of those folks are Roman Catholics. So many folks that we have in administration even today are Roman Catholics. I'm not trying to just start a bunch of mess, but I'm telling you that's something you need to be aware of. But more importantly, you need to be aware of the fact that Roman Catholic salvation and Bible salvation is two entirely different things. Hope you've learned something tonight. I sure love you, folks.